You're listening to the Music Manumit Podcast for September 18, 2011. Learn more at musicmanumit.com. Hi, and welcome to another Music Manumit. And I'm Tom, and with me is Doug.
Woohoo!
Yes. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
Well, September 11th is always a weird day, because you're like, it's supposed to be a shitty day for Americans.
Yes.
But it's my birthday.
That's right. I forgot that that was the same day. For those listening, by the way, we're recording this on September 11th. By the time you're hearing it, it's probably not going to be September 11th.
Yeah, so, that's true.
So just to make that point clear. I totally spaced it. It was your birthday. And when I got on Skype, it usually does the nice thing of saying, hey, by the way, it's this person's birthday.
Yeah.
Skype did not do that. Do you not have your birthday?
Must not have it on there. You know what I've started doing a lot of places is putting a birthday that's not accurate.
Yeah?
Like, I'm not 28 on the internet in a lot of places.
Really?
You know? And my birthday
is January. That sounds so shady.
My birthday is January 1st in a lot of places.
Really? Because you just picked the first thing that's on there so you don't have to go through.
Yeah. Then it's like you must be 18 or older, and I'm like 1990.
Right.
January 1st, 1990, done and done.
Yeah, so 1990 is where you draw the line. That's where that's as far as you'll scroll down to see what the date is.
Well, that's 21, so
okay.
I'm pretty much good for whatever at that point.
It still sounds shady.
I can't rent a car, but...
It reminds me of the early days of chat rooms where, everybody did the ASL. And everybody was like basically lying about who they were online. So
I wonder how many people got confused between ASL and American Sign Language. Like how many people saw ASL and thought,
"Well, I'm not in that category." I'll tell you that right now because I had no clue that was an acronym for something else. So,
well, if to be an acronym, it would have to be ASL.
That's true. That's true.
Initialism. That's one of my pet peeves.
Oh, because it's not initials, I said acronym?
You said acronym, yeah.
Instead of initials. Okay, I got you.
An initialism is when you like...
Oh, initialism.
Say, yeah, and when like the name of an organization is their initials, that's an initialism.
See, my pet peeve is when people put ism on things.
Well, look, I didn't do it. Don't blame me.
I'm just kidding.
From now on I'm gonna say ism as much as like
you should. You should.
I'm gonna change the name of the punk show to
the punkism show. There's actually
music management punkism.
There is actually the people around me that know me. I do have a very short list of actual things that are pet peeves. Ism. I was just saying that to be difficult, but there is a short list of things that I like to call office speak that I don't like because people use them just because they've heard other people use them and there's no reason for saying it. The biggest offense is touch base. That is, it is like nails on a chalkboard when I hear people say, "We'll touch base later," and it's just say, "I'm like, just say you'll contact me later." What's this touch base thing? What is that? Like one person used it and it's kind of like when people say my bad. You know, it's like where did that come from and why are we saying it like that now? Why don't we just go, oops, I screwed up, you know? Or, you know, but it's my bad now. But that's not on the list because that's not office speak. So yeah, I've got a short list. Shoot you an email is another one.
Oh, I do that.
I know everybody does that. That one's I can live with that one, but it's like it's unnecessary.
I think you just don't like that one because you don't like email.
Very, very true. I don't. But it's like shoot you an email. It's like pew pew pew. I mean, I just visually I see something else. That's why that one doesn't bug me as
much.
Gotta go
through the tubes, Tom. Yes. You gotta shoot it through the tubes.
But touch base is the biggest offender of all for me. I had another one. Oh, the other day. And this is kind of in lines for our air quotes thing that we did, the air hashtags. I've decided in meetings, people are only allowed a maximum of 2 air quotes per meeting if they're talking about something. If they do more than that, then, you know, because we are all aware of what you're talking about that you do not believe in, that you're air quoting, you know, so it's like you don't need to do it again. So that's another thing. That one just got added to the list recently. But anyway,
You know what, Tom?
Yeah.
This is a podcast about music.
Mm-hmm.
So let's,
it's funny you were thinking like I've said enough just as around the same time that I thought I've said enough.
Yeah.
So that's good by me. So we actually are kind of just winging it on this one because we had a guest and it fell through.
That's nothing like what we normally do.
Right. No, usually we plan these out. We have whiteboards. We run them by a test audience first before we put them on the internet, and they're very, very well orchestrated. But today
professional one might say.
Yes. Today we are caught with our I want to say pants down, but for some reason I feel like that's weird because you've already talked about lying about your age on the internet. So so we're just kind of winging it. We're staying with that, winging it. So anyway, what do you want to talk about today, Doug?
Well, let's talk about some music.
Okay.
What about your picks this week? Mm. I don't see a theme. Did you have a theme this week?
It kind of was. It was kind of a world theme. I was going for more foreign country music.
Okay.
So that was what the theme was, because for the most part, I was just kind of seeking some stuff out.
You're anti-American that you're going to play non-patriotic music on 9/11.
Not at all. And that's funny that you tied that into that day.
The NSA is going to be after you, Tom.
Not whatsoever.
Terrorist watch list.
No. And but there's this one guy who I'm friends with on Jamendo, and he's I don't know if you get a lot of people I recommend this music sort of emails from people.
Yeah, I kind of think that's irritating.
But right, and it can be. And what I usually do is I used to just delete them and I'd never look at them. But then when we started doing the show, I would tag them in a music tag and then archive them. And, you know, thinking that I would look at them later. Well, a lot of the times I don't. So I went through there, and the person who sends it is somebody who's, I want to say he's from Portugal, I believe. And he sends me a lot of music that normally I don't really like, in the sense that I'm not really into a lot of world music. But there is some cool stuff that people do out there. So I finally went through the list of stuff that he has sent me on Jamendo, for the most part, and just kind of picked a couple that I liked, or at least that I thought were okay as far as being from, being world music from other countries, which I remember speaking with Craig. We talked about the fact that, you know, it's not really, you know, why is it world music? You know, is America, you know, not in the world? So he talked about that on one of the shows.
Well, I think that, even if it's like indigenous American music, it's considered like world music.
There is Americana too. I guess maybe it's more of the cultural setting, which that doesn't even really apply anymore either, you know?
But even Americana is like, is in the Western tradition of music. I think what they really mean is like non-Western. Like if you had, you know, like Native American music, that would fall under that's not Americana. That would fall under the world category.
Yeah. Very true.
You know, if the Iroquois Nation wanted to bang drums or do whatever they do.
It's kind of it is really a misused word or misused named genre. I said that wrong, but you know what I mean? Like what you're saying is true, but then that doesn't really explain why they use the word world.
No, well, it sounds better than weirdos that aren't Western.
Does it really?
Which is, I mean, that's basically what they mean when they say, I think some people, you know, I mean, I said that like, you know, like trying to be a dick, but, some people, I think that they think about it that way, but that doesn't mean that they don't necessarily like the music, but it's just sort of like patronizing, like, oh, look at their, you know, indigenous culture. Isn't that so interesting? They're like fucking like culture hipsters. Like, you know, look at how obscure that culture is. I like this weird African, you know, I'm never going to go to Africa without a, you know, unless I'm going to go on a safari with pay a lot of millions of dollars or whatever, but you know the people I'm talking about.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was essentially, I went through and I found a couple of things that I liked. Not, you know, just wanted to try something new. Cause I know a lot of the times what you do is you'll post stuff on there that you're like, okay, you'll have some music that you're seeking out and trying to listen to different things. And that was my extent of listening. Cause I don't normally dislike a lot of things, but world music is something I'm on the wire on. Like, I either don't like it or I do like it, depending on what it is. Like, there's, I mean, it literally for me goes like, this is bad world music, this is good world music. Like, or at least as far as my liking it.
So, I think there's a lot of, I don't know, back and forth maybe is not the right word, but, you know, I'll send Dan music to play on Rat Hole Radio,
right.
And I'll send, Craig music over on the Metalcast. And a lot of times I'm sending them music that, well, almost exclusively, I guess. I'm sending stuff that we won't play because it's either all rights reserved or it's, the no derivatives license. But, so they're playing stuff and, because I figure if they want to hear what I think is interesting that's remixable, they can just listen to the show.
True.
If they're not willing to do that, then sorry.
Because you were willing to do it.
Yeah.
That's how we got it.
I listen to their shows, so. Mm-hmm. No. But, and then the Bugcast, there's a lot of stuff that that we play that ends up on there too.
Yeah.
Not just the songs themselves, but the artists too. So this week I decided instead of sort of doing that behind closed doors, yeah, I would just say, hey, this is where I got these. And, I gotta say, I had forgotten which, tracks that I picked. I had forgotten that the first track, that's by Embrace My Ruin.
Yeah.
How ridiculously awesome that one is. the guy was like, Superman. And then there's like the girl who's like, I am so pretty. Listen to me.
So like,
and they're like going
so like
at
Evanescence.
The same time. Yeah. But except it was more growly than Evanescence.
Right.
Yeah.
More of an extreme version. And also if the girl's going, I'm so pretty. I don't think the girl from Evanescence?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think she says that. I always thought that the dude... I always thought the dude
those
from...
Those are not lyrics from one of their songs.
No. I always thought the dude from Evanescence, just from hearing it, like when it came out, I thought it was a collaboration between some female singer and the dude from... what's that band that basically... Fred Durst. Basically, I thought it was Fred Durst.
The Biscuit?
Yeah. I thought it was her, because the part where he raps in between where she's trying to sing, which kind of reminds me of Guitar Zan, which I'm sure you'll have no idea what I'm talking about, but that song to me just sounds like two people are trying to go, no, I'm singing the song. No, I'm singing the song. And that's essentially the song.
There's anything I can do, anything you can do, I can do better.
Sort of, but Guitar Zan, it's actually the, Tarzan and
you can do, I can do better.
But it's like good.
Well, I'm sorry, it's my birthday. I'm allowed.
That's true, and so the song is like Tarzan trying to sing and the Jane trying to sing. So she's going baby, and he's going oh baby, and then at the end she finally goes shut up baby, I'm trying to sing, and that's what that song sounds like to me, the Evanescence song, not the one that you're describing. Completely different song. And also, I like the fact that the second song you have on there, Creature of the Night, it is not the Kiss song. From the album Creatures of the Night.
you brought up Gene Simmons this time.
Mm-hmm. No, I brought up Kiss. Entirely
well,
different thing.
I mean, Gene Simmons is Kiss, really.
Well, that's debatable. Although you used to be able to say that Ace Frehley is, but then they got rid of him like 3 times. So apparently Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons are Kiss.
You claim that I love Gene Simmons, but I don't know a fucking thing about Gene Simmons and Kiss, except that Gene Simmons is an asshole.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
And I grew up, basically I do music because of Kiss. So, I'm not defending them whatsoever. I mean, I'm over them completely, but they were the shit when I was growing up.
You sound like a jilted boyfriend.
No, not at all.
Really, I'm over her.
Although I do have an original copy of Detroit Rock City on vinyl over here.
See? Yes.
What? I've had
You're
it since I was in like
on
third
Facebook.
Grade.
You check in on her every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know.
That's but anyway. Yeah. So
Speaking
I started
about
us on Gene Simmons today.
Fans that are not Creative Commons fans. well, one that is Creative Commons is Promonium Jesters. Promnium Jesters. I don't even care how it's pronounced.
Right.
Go to the show notes if you care. But anyway, the third track that I played. Do you know the band Prong? Actually, I think I asked you this like last week during the show.
I don't remember if you asked, but yes, I do know who they are.
I brought this up, I think. Maybe it's because Craig and I were talking about it last week and it was on my mind. But anyway, do you know the band Prong?
Yes, and they used to have some pretty awesome album covers.
Okay. Well, maybe it wasn't that. There's some band that you guys didn't know about.
No.
I think it was you and Mac. I don't remember. Anyway, but the song Rust, the bass line in that sounds exactly like the bass line in Snap Your Finger, Snap Your Neck.
Right.
You know that song?
Yes.
Yeah. Listen to Rust, the beginning of it, and see if it doesn't sound like exactly like it to you. Because it pretty much does. The song in its entirety doesn't sound exactly like that, but the like after the opening where they talk just a little bit and like it comes in, like right there, and that's the bass line that's like prominent throughout. But like the rest of the singing and the rest of the stuff is not particularly similar. I mean, it's the same genre, but that line is like straight out of that song. Not that I'm mine. We are about the remix here. I'm just saying.
Very true.
Yeah. So back to me being anal retentive. September 3rd. we talked about that one actually. That's the one we did talk about.
Yeah.
With Mac.
No, we didn't talk about
the ones in the past though.
Yeah, we did.
We went through all of them.
Yeah, we had one.
The fuck did I not get rid of those?
I don't know. We had one where we went through.
I'm not good at being anal retentive anymore. Yeah,
apparently not, because we did one where, like, even I was questioning how far back are we going to go talking about these.
I thought that I didn't.
It wasn't that long.
No, dude, we didn't talk about that one. Maybe we talked about a couple of them. Yeah, we talked about the. Didn't we talk about that one? I don't think we did, dude. We talked about last week's, but we didn't go back further than that. But like with the agrarians, they sense you too, and the Coca-Cola rock and roll. We never talked about that.
Sure, we did because it has my shameless self promotion on it.
Yeah, but you had the same shameless self promotion the next week too.
Oh shit!
We
I forgot
about
to
the
do another
selfish thing promotion for the following week.
I know. I forgot to do one this week.
Yeah. Well, you can do it next week.
I'll have to.
Unless you're
damn
going
it.
To develop
slacking
shame.
Slacking off on exploiting my own stuff for this show. Damn it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can talk about that one. I don't remember a damn thing about any of it.
See,
so I'm just going to say yes, those are the ones that I picked. Your turn.
Okay. All right. Well, These Days by Robin Gray, not the typical, like, punk metal sorts of things you might expect from me, and not some sort of weird abrasive thing that I hate that I just want to irritate people with either, but it's like a nice sort of like put folk down here, but it's kind of poppy folk. I mentioned that track because I thought it was interesting from a like this is a song Doug played standpoint, but actually the other thing that's interesting is that it's licensed two different ways on Jamendo.
Oh, right.
So
I remember you talking
about
that.
It's part of a compilation where it's as non-commercial, but on the album itself, it says no derivative. So there's a little thing in there that says, I think what it is because you can't license tracks individually on Jamendo. It's got to be a whole album. So I think maybe that whole album is supposed to be no derivatives, but like on FMA, it would have been released as non-commercial since it was released somewhere else, because you know you can pick a song on when you're like doing uploads and stuff, you can like pick other ones from that have already been uploaded to put them together, and I don't think you can do that on Jamendo, but I've never uploaded on Jamendo, so I don't really know, but I do know that they don't have separate track. You can't even get the license information from a single track, which is really stupid.
Yeah, you have to go back to the full album. I know what you mean.
Yeah, that's really irritating.
You want to know something that's also very interesting that I discovered this week? Now, I know, I think we've discussed the fact that YouTube now has Creative Commons licensing if you upload
pretty
something.
Sure we discussed that, yeah.
Here's the one thing I discovered. It only has one license. It only has the basically the attribution license.
Right. You know the reason why they did that, or the purported reason that they did that.
Why?
Is because they didn't want to confuse people. Because, like, people are like, oh my god, what is this crazy Creative Commons thing?
Right.
And then, so they just put one license, and they're like, hey, if you want people to use it, use this one.
Right.
And so,
At least they went for the most free one, I guess, you know.
Well, I think, but the cynics are saying, well, of course, you know, like, YouTube wants to be able to make money off of it, so.
That's a good point, because because then they can't choose the non-commercial.
Yeah, so, and they don't want to necessarily have to share what they use, so, I would be sort of more, I don't know that they would have a way necessarily to enforce the Bash SA, but I think I would be more impressed if they had used the Dash SA, because that would, you know, force people into some, I mean, I realize that attribution is a requirement, but
yeah.
It doesn't seem like a requirement. Because to me, like, if what you're doing, if you're doing something that you should be doing anyway, because you're not a dick, then that's not, like, doing anything. You know, like...
Well put.
Like, oh, this guy didn't just yell obscenities at me. He must be a nice person. No, that's what normal fucking people do. They don't yell obscenities at you.
Right.
But, you know, so, like, being like, oh, we're giving these people attribution. Look at us. We're so great. No, you're, like, being a decent member of society. You're not, you know, you don't get a round of applause for that. But, I mean, I do like that Google did that. I mean, let me be clear. I'm not being down on what they're doing. I'm just saying that I think even if something is in the public domain, I feel like if you know who did it, then you should still give them attribution. I don't know. It just seems like the appropriate thing to do. I mean, it's a citation, you know, if you're writing a paper and you want to say this person, you know, like Immanuel Kant said this, you don't just not say that Kant said it because that he's like bazillion years old. It doesn't work like that.
We almost can't say it because it sounded like he had trouble pronouncing it.
Huh?
I said it almost sounded like you couldn't say it because you had trouble pronouncing it.
A bazillion?
No, the guy's name.
Oh, Kant?
Yeah.
Well, just because his name is pronounced Kant doesn't mean I can't spell it.
Oh, wow. Nicely done.
Yeah. But, I mean, am I making sense? Sort of like...
No, I get what you're saying. I mean, I don't think I would take it to that extreme, but yeah, I get what you're saying. That's, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'm just saying that, like, I feel like attribution is not a burden on the user. I do realize that it is, in fact, a burden, because you have to sort of, like, figure out who actually did it, and you have to sort of figure out how you're going to give them attribution, and it's a burden. I mean,
right.
if we didn't, like, have to give attribution on our song, I mean, I guess that's one thing. If we weren't required to give attribution to the stuff on our shows, we would still do that. I mean, that's sort of the whole point of putting it on there, so that we can give those bands credit. You know, they say like, hey, these are these great bands, go check them out, you know,
right.
Find out more.
Well, and so, that was going to be my argument, is looking at it in the other sense, is that it's a two-way street, that and they should have been doing it forever, but people didn't realize that they should have been doing it forever, because YouTube would not exist without the people that upload videos to it, yet the people could not upload videos if YouTube was never there. So it's, you know, it's a egg, you know, which came first, a chicken or the egg sort of thing,
yeah.
You know, because like the other thing too being, somebody goes, hey, there's this video that's gone viral, like the one where the cat lifts the scared cat where he lifts his arms up and everything, and everybody's seen a million times. I don't know if you know that one. I'm trying to think of a more obvious one.
Well, there's the bed intruder.
That's true. Okay, good point. So that one even got remixed.
Oh, wait. Have you seen the bad lip reading videos?
No.
But, dude, Russian unicorn, type that into to the YouTubes.
Okay.
And watch the video. Don't necessarily, you don't have to do it now.
Right, because I was in the middle of saying something.
But it's it's amazing. Russian Unicorn is amazing.
Okay.
And this guy's done some other stuff too, but yeah, it's amazing. I kind of want to watch it right now, but I won't.
Okay.
But anyway, so yeah.
But what
licensing problem.
Right, but that's what I was getting at as before you started talking about unicorns, was the whole thing was that they've basically been kind of doing that, but like nobody needed to get any credit for anything. Like that video would go viral, first of all. With that one being a great example, is somebody took what they saw, you know, used it, remixed it, and then put it on YouTube. And then YouTube got all the revenue, all the hits, all of the ads, all of the everything, and just because those people had to put it there. Whereas they could have put it anywhere else. But why did they put it on YouTube? But the other thing, too, is that YouTube could also say, hey, we're going to take this down or whatever, but other people would share it. People would put, no, this is the original one. No, this is the original one. You know, that sort of thing. And it's like with the attribution, or, you know, at least there would be somewhat of a, hey, here's the video that came from the original source. You know, because right. I've seen so many different versions or re-uploads of that exact same video that you never know if you're looking at the original one. You look at the account and you're like, I don't know if that's a real account or not, except for the fact that it was, what is it, Remix the News or whatever the hell it's called. Autotune the News is the name of the people that did it. But, yeah. So that I remember, but like half of the guests we have, I can't think of their name. Anyway, when I try maybe to recall it from memory, I can think of Autotune the News.
Maybe we should have them on so you can stop remembering what they're called.
Oh, that's a good point. Thank you. But yeah, so that's my whole thing, is it's like, it's something they should have been doing to begin with, because the entire concept of YouTube is uploading your own crap, and I can't believe nobody really realized that, like, they have no right to anything. And I think
mentioned some people did realize that, and I mean, that's why, like, Madlug put their videos on blip.tv, because they could put them under a Creative Commons license. Now, Blip lets you use any of the Creative Commons licenses, I think.
By the way, I'm the one that suggested using it on Blip for Madlug. Like
what?
Like that was back in like 2007. That was when they were looking for where they should put their videos. I mentioned that they should put it there.
Oh well, they didn't have videos in 2007.
Somebody did. Maybe it was Abraham. Never mind. It was something else. It was one of those. We have so many groups that are all just the same people that I forget which one I'm talking to.
Well, it used to be that way. Yeah. Let's not go too much on a Madison.
That's true. That's.
Well, especially since you don't live here anymore. Abraham left, then all of that sort of fell apart, really. I mean, like, there's no interaction between, you know, the various groups. You know, by the time that I left Madison, they were just done. And you know what is weird? I mean, I'm not mad. It doesn't affect my life at all, but I left, you know, Madlug. For obvious reasons, because I'm not in Madison. And then the guy who sort of took over for me, like, last week, like, quit as well.
Really?
I'm like, really?
I didn't know that. Is that Brad?
Yeah, Brad is. I guess he's sort of still doing stuff, maybe, until he can find. I don't know exactly, but he's like.
He's still involved in the Ubuntu Hour thing, though, isn't he?
Well, so this was after that discussion. So, why don't you and I talk about this some other
time? Yeah, that's fine. That's true. We are recording a show here, aren't we?
Yeah. So, 25th of August, the show. Some good tracks on that. So, this was one of my non-theme songs. And a lot of times, I really like the theme shows. But the best ones are the ones where I don't have a theme, because then I'm just picking what I want and not sort of trying to shoehorn in a theme. But so the 25th was one of those where I was just like, I'm picking what I want. But I put The Other Side of Midnight in there, which is not really my typical thing. But I don't know. Just something about 57 Jack Braves. I like their stuff. I don't know. It's weird. It's like so overtly country that it's almost funny. But it's not like honky tonk country. It's like trying to be pop, but it's not like pop country today. It's like pop country of like 1950.
Yeah, pop country today is basically just top 40 radio.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. I liked it when country was considered... I liked it when country was full-on country. You know, like something where they sang about their cheating wife and, you know, being cowboys and all that kind of garbage. I did. During the Urban Cowboy era. I don't know how old you were during that, but because of the movie Urban Cowboy, country became very popular. But the thing is it wasn't like the country now where it's like, oh, they're trying to be like, you know, pop stars. It was like, no, they're like, country's popular. By the way, we weren't prepared for this, so all of our music's kind of messed up. That's really what it was. And a lot of stuff got put into the public where, you know, like, take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. That was a great song. And it was because the guy was, it was just a working man song, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with any of this stuff.
No, I'm not familiar with Urban Cowboy. And I was
one of my
negative.
Favorite movies.
I was negative years old when Urban Cowboy came out, but
nope, awesome movie.
But who is the guy who sang the "Take the Job and Shove It"?
Take this job and shove it was Johnny Paycheck.
Okay, that's not the I don't know that.
Johnny Paycheck, awesome song.
No. I was thinking of a different song. I was thinking of "Get a Haircut and Get a New Job." That's a good song. I like that one.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. That one was more recent, but yes, that was. But no, I'm talking like during the time of like Mel Tillis and Mickey Gilley, and you know, hell, even what's his name, the blind singer, Ronnie Millsap. But he was more adult contemporary country. I know
George
a lot about
Thorogood.
This. Yes, yes, that is the one who did that song. I met him. He's a jerk. He is. He's kind of an ass. But I guess I, you know, what was I expecting? You know. He's George Thorogood. He's just a big, burly guitar-playing guy. He played at my wife's theater.
Did he tell you to get a haircut and get a real job?
No.
Because, I mean, really, aren't you a Flash developer?
Well, no, I started out as a Flash developer. Now I do software design.
Oh, okay.
Thank
so you
very
got a,
much.
You got a real job, but you get a haircut.
I can still do Flash development if I have
fucking
to.
Fucking hippies, get a haircut.
No, but George Thorogood basically brought him his food. He opened the door. Backstage to get his food and did the thing basically where just took it, slammed the door right in my face. And that was the extent, you know, no thank you, no like, hey, how you doing? You know, that sort of thing. He just looked at the food, grabbed it, and shut the door. Like nothing. No react. Like it was just kind of jerky the way he did it. Like it was arrogant the way he did it. No, more jerky. Not arrogant. I don't think he was trying to be arrogant. Anyway, yeah. So, met him. He just came off as kind of a dick.
I don't know if it's like moving into like Yankee territory up here in New Hampshire has me like getting back to my like country roots or I don't know, but I also played the Cletus Got Shot song on the 25th, the Uniontown track. That was a good one. But I don't know how long that's gonna last. Don't expect it to last long.
I hope not.
Although I do really like I do really like Uniontown, so there'll probably be some more of theirs on there. But that's more bluegrass than it is country. But anyway, week before that, was my "Fuck You, Madison" week. Actually, that's not exactly what it was. But the song titles from that week were "Work Sucks," "I Hate My Work," "Loose Ends," "Ends of Days," "Truck Driving Slow Fuck," which is not a sentence, it's just a string of words, but that's the name of the song, and then "New Friends." So, you know, it was sort of like, work sucks, gotta tie up loose ends, then we're driving, and now I got new friends.
No, just
that was the way. I don't know if anybody else picked up on that, but that's the way I.
How could
up.
You not? But so, yeah. But the just a quick question, and you can just give a short answer to it because I'm curious. Did you not like your last job when you were here?
No, not really.
Okay, good enough. That's all I really wanted to know. I didn't know if it was one of those things like, you know, I'm leaving, so hell with this place, or did you genuinely not care for it?
There were some things that I liked, but mostly I was not a fan.
Gotcha. So,
yeah.
All right.
And then the week before that was some leftovers from my offensive shows. And I've got to say, I've got some good offensive songs lined up. Just nice. Got to find some good times to play them.
I like it. You're like a camel. You're saving them for later.
Yeah, yeah.
You're an offensive song camel.
It's almost impossible not to have an offensive grindcore song.
True.
Because you can't understand what they're saying at all.
Yeah.
So they just put the most offensive titles that they can think of. Who knows if it's even related to what they're saying at all? Who knows if they're even saying anything at all? Maybe the guy's just making noises with his mouth. You don't know. You don't care.
They could name it. Well, I mean, they could do like Metalocalypse or Death Clock. There we go. They could do like Death Clock and do songs where they're actually still being that way, but they did their one where they wrote a theme song for a coffee manufacturer. Have you ever seen that episode? I don't know if you've ever seen the show.
Well, I know that there's I wish I had time to watch more of it. It's amazing.
It's actually a great show. I really love that show. But they're, one song, it's in the first season, but it's like, they wrote a song for a coffee company and they start out and they're just like, "Do you like coffee?" And basically the whole thing is about how it's brewed and, you know, but they're doing it in the Death Clock manner. But then, of course, at the same time, too, they have a giant thing of coffee that's being poured over the audience and then they all get burned.
Yes! Yes, they get burned. Yes. I was waiting to say that. I was like, yeah, get done so I can talk about people being burned with coffee.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
that's the beauty of that show is like they're all idiots.
But I mean, Death Clock, like grindcore, makes Death Clock look like, I don't know, Shania Twain.
Well,
I mean, like,
yeah, well, because it's a cartoon, first of all, but and they can be as bad as they want. I mean, I guess musically you're saying they could be, but I mean, as far as what happens to them in the cartoon itself, because it is a cartoon and they can actually live the way that all these grindcore bands claim to live.
Right.
They actually can live. I mean, they have a freaking palace that floats above the earth that's shaped like a big demon, you know? I mean, that's the way that those bands would like you to think that they live their lives, but they probably have two kids at home, you know?
Yeah, I don't know that they would want... I mean, I think that a lot of grindcore bands would not want that. Because they're like very like anti-society and they don't want big houses and like they may have kids, but like I think maybe that's not what they're looking for.
Well, and the best part is too, is that actually, I don't know if you're familiar with the show Home Movies that used to be on a while back.
No.
It was kind of a kids-like show. It started out in the UPN and then it was picked up on Adult Swim and then they continued the series. Well, it was kind of like it was these kids that make home movies, you know, and they had funny life. And the main character was Brendan Small, and he looked kind of like the character of his on the show, where he was just, he's a short redheaded guy. And he kind of, you know, kind of like Seth Green. And that is the guy that does all the voices and the music for Metalocalypse, because he's actually a music student. He actually went to college for music before he started doing cartoons. So he actually writes all the music, and in some of the episodes when they have more music-intensive ones, him and Kirk Hammett write the songs. But he goes on tour as the band, so it's like, you know, I'm not Metalocalypse, and here it is, like, he's just this short, redheaded guy with, like, 10, you know, amps behind him, and he does all the voices and the songs, and he went on tour last year as Death Clock, and I thought that was pretty funny, because you see the pictures from it, and it's like... You know, the crowd in there is probably the type of crowd that would go to a Death Clock show, but the dude that's doing it is not the type of guy that they would watch do it. So I always thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I mean, grindcore is tied more to, like, the punk scene. I mean, you know, they have the 26-second songs and...
Yeah.
So I think that that's sort of, there's sort of this sort of, like, street, like... You know, there's sort of a street ethic, I guess, you know, in grindcore bands that metal bands don't have. I mean, it's sort of the, you know, melancholy is the sickness of the elite sort of thing. You know, like metal bands can moan and put their hands on their foreheads and cry, right. And, you know, I guess I'm thinking about, like, black metal bands.
That, yeah.
Like, suicidal, depressive black metal. Not quite as aggressive, but, you know, a sort of dark, we're going to destroy the world. The nihilistic sort of metal sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, that sort of, when you're not fighting for survival, you can sort of, like, let your mind drift into the abyss sort of thing. That I think a lot of metal has that going on, whereas grindcore is like, we're just going to fucking play as loud and abrasive as we can and fuck you. And that's basically all they got.
It's interesting.
I like that in small doses.
Yeah. And it's interesting the way, too, that that punk and metal, it's okay to like both or to even incorporate them. Whereas when it first started out,
oh, yeah.
You were either a punk rocker or you were a metalhead. You know, there was no intermingling. And then somewhere along the way, it was okay to like both, you know?
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, it's weird because, I mean, in hindsight, you know, like even like the thrash bands, like even like Slayer were some of the, like the punk kids were like first into like Slayer.
Yeah.
But it's hard to know like how they got treated. You know, like in hindsight, you can say, yeah, people started liking Slayer out of the punk scene. But
right.
Like at the time, was that rift still there? I mean, there's still vestiges of that rift, because if you go to like a metalcore show, and this actually happened to me, I ended up being thrown out of this show, but like if you try to like hardcore dance in a metal pit, people get all like pissed. Only dicks who like are probably drunk, but some dude like attacked me because I was like doing hardcore dancing, and then even though I didn't do anything, we both got thrown out. And I was pretty pissed. I should have beat his fucking ass after the show. Asshole.
Yeah.
Kicked out.
Well, yeah, and I mean,
it would have been so bad except that my friends were at the show. And like, because if I had just driven by myself or if I'd taken the bus or something, I could have just gone home. But it was cold. And the dudes, they weren't even going to like let me go get my jacket. Like, it was inside. I was just like, dude, I'm going to sue the fuck out of you guys. Because it's like 30 degrees out here. You've got to let me go in and get my jacket. You know, like, that's bullshit. You can't throw me out on the streets in a t-shirt.
Right.
So they did let me go get my jacket, but so it's still there, but I think generally speaking, people aren't so.
Yeah, I mean, my transition was like I discovered Slayer, then I started listening to Corrosion of Conformity, and then all of a sudden I was into punk, like Minor Threat, and then it was weird. It went even farther. I started liking the more song-like stuff, so then that's when I got into the Descendents and, you know, more that it kind of like transitioned into more like, oh, song things rather than just like the speed and everything that I liked on it. I think that might be what it is. It's a lot of it is the faster stuff. Like I could see you liking punk, but if you were a metalhead saying you like punk, but you're not going to say like, oh, and I love all, you know, they're going to be like, really? You like that I'm singing about my girl thing?
Whenever I think about all I can think about is the track where all they do, it's like a four track and second track, and they go, all. Oh!
That's actually on the album All by the Descendents. It's not by the band All.
Yeah, well, that's all I can think of, even though it's by a band that members of All were in,
yes.
Not of All.
That was Milo's last album, and then they became All. Don't question me on my Descendants knowledge.
What?
Don't question me on my Descendants knowledge. Also, they did their last tour they kicked off their tour at Turner Hall for that last album here in town, which Turner Hall is not around anymore. It's a parking lot.
I was going to say, I don't know where the hell Turner Hall is.
It's a parking lot. It's behind, it's over by, it's off the square, kind of by where the, what's that called? It's that bar that keeps closing. It's open during Christmas and everybody goes there, starts with an A.
Alchemy?
Yes. No, not the Alchemy, but it sounds like the Alchemy. The
Alchemy's out in,
yeah, that's over on Winnebago. Yeah.
It's a good place to eat.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I'm not going to think of the name of the place.
This is the Madison Foodie Podcast.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, all of a sudden we're making a bunch of
Madison. Live in Madison.
I know, you move away and we start talking about Madison. It's very strange.
Reminisce about the good old days.
Well, one thing I'd like to talk about that I see on our list that we could fit in before we finish up here.
We haven't talked about anything on here.
I know that, but I'd like to talk about one thing before we finish because we've been talking for a long time. And, it's the, you have a link to, where it was posted on Free Music Archive, but, I actually brought this up on the show with Craig, but they had not actually, it was just a promo for it. They had not put it up yet, but it was for the futureofmusic.org was holding a survey where they wanted to ask independent musicians, how do you make money? And they're basically trying to do a survey like what people are doing and what are more, you know, just kind of trying to go, hey, independent musicians, you should try this, you know, and they're going to take a study off of this survey. Well, the survey finally came out yesterday and, it's over at, futureofmusic.org/ARS. And you take the survey, you fill it out, you say what kind of musician you are. And the whole thing, depending on how in-depth you want to go, because you can take the highly in-depth, medium, or just the give me the general questions sort of things. And I took the medium one, and it's very thorough. It took me probably a good 15 minutes to do the survey. And, yeah, they ask a lot of interesting questions. I am going to be very interested to see what they think. They are essentially talking about like, hey, you know, first of all, general sum up is going, has the internet basically changed the way that you do music is essentially what they talk about. And then they ask about how and like, do you do this? And do you do this? Did you used to do this or do you not do it as much anymore? Kind of talking about like email marketing.
They basically
newsletters.
Just took the questions that we asked during our interviews
yeah,
and
kind
ripped
of.
Them off.
It kind of, but they go very in depth and they're even going so much as like naming names.
We go very in depth. We're a hard hitting news show, Tom.
Yeah, but we don't, that's good. That's nice. I like the fact that you're saying that. But no, I mean, they even name names in it. Like they're saying, do you use TuneCore? Do you use this? Like they're actually asking specific services, like what do you use? And do you like the way that they're doing this? Do you like the fact that they take money for this? They ask you if you're on an independent label and, you know, if you were, or if you are anymore, and then they ask you, why did you leave? And are you now just promoting music yourself online? If so, what are you using?
Are you a millionaire? Yes, no.
Well, and one of the questions they asked, which I thought was interesting, they said, one of the things they said was, if in a perfect world you had the time and didn't need to work for money, would you do this? And then they give a list of questions like promote your band more, learn how to do other instruments, you
get
know,
better blowjobs.
Hand jobs was the
hand jobs,
was
right.
the, what
yeah.
I had said. And you know, that and they actually ask like, you know, throw everything out the window. If you had to, would you want to do this? Would you want to promote yourself? Would you want to have somebody promote yourself? All that kind of stuff. And I thought that was interesting that they posed a question like that instead of saying, you know. But then they also asked the other one where they're like, okay, but you do work. So what do you have time to do because you have to work for a living? And then they ask you that. So I'm really interested to see how it turns out. But, yeah, so if you're a musician or, listen to music, I think they even are taking the, thoughts of people that are consumers, music consumers. Go over to futureofmusic.org/ARS and take the survey. And, when they get done with this and when it comes out, we'll have to, report back on what it was like and what the outcome was and what we think of it, you know. Kind of like,
yeah,
a, you know, definitely. if it's a good thing or a bad thing. But that was really the only thing I wanted to bring up for the show
okay.
today.
Let's talk about a couple things quickly, if that's possible.
Do it.
Publicdomainreview.org. Did you look at that?
No.
Sweet. So basically, I don't remember, Open Knowledge Foundation put together a site, and they're working with Free Music Archive. I should have looked back and seen exactly what Jason said, but Jason basically... Jason over at FMA, poked them about this and they're working together in some way. But basically, they've got a bunch of different, they've got articles, films, images, texts, audio. Resources.
Oh, I remember, yeah, when he brought it up, it was still in its infancy. Like there was barely anything on the site.
Yeah, so there's some little more stuff up here now.
Yeah, there is.
And so I think it got I can't remember where I refound it from or found it from.
Mm-hmm.
But it came up somewhere. I'm going to probably play some of this stuff later. You know what? I may you know, I don't know. I do remember sending Craig some of these the Chopins is what it says, but I guess it's because there's no apostrophe, but Chopin's Funeral March on here. So I sent that to him because he was on his big kick with the classical stuff. But mm-hmm. Yeah, the images are cool too. Might be a place for some lyrics. This one's creepy. These like ghosts pictures.
Yeah.
There's like ghosts in the. Yeah, that's creepy.
I'm looking through the movies right now, and there are a couple of them in here that must just be one of those like idiot forgot to renew the copyright on it because they lapsed.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. Because there are a couple movies in here, like The Snows of Kilimanjaro. I didn't know that that was public domain now.
Well, it is.
Last Man on Earth. Hmm. Interesting.
So these are from the National Media Museum entry at Flickr. These photographs are the spirit photographs of William Hope.
Yeah.
These, you should like put some of these pictures. If I have a metal show, like put one of these ghosts because that's totally metal.
Yeah, that's awesome. Those are cool.
Yeah.
Is this one of those ones where like that's just the way it turned out or like did they make them this way?
I mean, National Media, I don't know. It says, 1933, 1922.
Interesting. Weird. Yeah, that's some crazy stuff.
Controversial medium, William Hope. So does that mean that he is like a ghost?
No, a medium is a person, yeah, that talks to ghosts. Don't you remember the show Medium?
No, I don't watch TV, Tom.
Oh. And then she got pregnant, and it was more like a large. Ha! Anyway, that was my joke. It took you a second, didn't it?
He's a the Wikipedia calls him a paranormal investigator. I feel like that's a much more descriptive name than medium.
Mm.
All right, so I said we were going to do this quick, and I'm not doing it very quickly.
Yeah, you're clicking around looking at a site, mister.
European term extension. CreativeCommons.org article. Europeans are dicks too. That's what I take away from it. Okay, being a dick, not just for Americans anymore. Then CC Mixter Remix. You know, this would be a really good way to do it. We could just, like, sum up all the articles in, like, some ridiculous statement
mm-hmm.
and then move on and don't explain the article at all. Just, like, run down through the articles and just... It'd be kind of like the music version of The Onion a little bit.
Hmm.
Another Madison mainstay. But anyway, so CC Mixter Remix collaboration for the Global Summit, CC Salon. I don't remember what this was about, actually, so it's going to be hard to do that quickly. But they want people to remix stuff. I remember that.
Right. I've recently started using CC Mixter and found a lot of cool stuff on there. Actually, one of the guys that's on it is from either Norway or Holland, but I seem to be liking more of his samples than anything else. And while it is a good service, I do have to say to people, when you are using it, double check the BPMs, because some people, they're putting loops up there, but they may not necessarily understand what BPMs are, because I've downloaded something that said it was 95 BPM and it was like 93, and it messed up everything that I was doing, so I had to recut the loop. But, you know, still found some good stuff. At ccmixter.org.
Yeah, I really don't know why that I put this in here. There had to be something.
Probably because you saw CC Mixter.
I do want to say that there, my new favorite genre is in this article. Ethno, electro, raga, punk, hip-hop.
That's a lot of words.
New favorite drama. Yeah, so. Yeah, basically you string a lot of words together, and then that's my new favorite genre.
Right.
That's the way it works.
That's
so
cool.
Okay, that's it. I think this is like our least productive show ever, Tom.
Yeah, you know, we had some fun. We had some whimsy. Maybe we entertained a few people.
You know, we didn't
people.
Even say that that we were supposed to have an interview. With
no, we
the
did
CIA
at the beginning.
That, did well, we?
Not with
I
the CIA.
I thought
agent.
We said that before that we. Oh yeah, you said we were winging it, and then
that's
I
right.
said
we had a whole conversation.
We always do that, and then we didn't even finish. This is like bringing it full circle. Is now we're going to explain the segue, or not the segue, but the tangent. Like the entire show was a tangent.
Very true.
That now we're going to close with saying that eventually we're going to have MC Lynx on the show, which I talked to him today via email, and he's supposed to be there. I can neither confirm nor deny that he's a CIA agent.
And I don't really know where this comes from.
That's where... Because, like, this is, like, the second time that he's, like, went away unexpectedly, like, on an emergency. And the last time he ended up in London, he's going to be like, I'm in Fiji. And I'd be like, dude, you were in Oakland, like, 5 hours ago.
Hmm.
Why are you in Fiji now? He's
kicks?
CIA.
In there,
that's
going to
be my first question if we ever actually get him on. If he exists, maybe he doesn't exist. Maybe this is all just an elaborate game that he's playing.
That's true.
I don't know. But anyway, next time we will not have MC Lynx,
right.
But we will have the Freak Fandango Orchestra,
oh.
who I believe are going to be in New York all the way from Spain. And I think, I'm pretty sure Barcelona. And they have a German as their, I don't know if he's his lead singer, but the guy I've been talking to is a German living in Spain.
Not an Englishman in New York.
And they're talking to us from New York. So that's just like crazy mind-blown culturalism.
And that's cool too because they'll be somewhat on our time schedule.
They'll be on my time zone.
Yeah.
So
cool.
So next week, yeah, they're really cool from what I've had so far, and they're probably not in the CIA since they're not American. But
I don't know. Don't judge a book by its cover, Doug.
We'll find out next week. So
all right. Well then, we'll see you next time. This has been another Music Manumit podcast at musicmanumit.com.